Morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming and joining us on this weekend of the 4th of July, a day when we celebrate our nation's independence. I thank you for being here. If this is your first time here, there should be a Connect card in the pew rack in front of you, and we'd ask you to take that and fill it out, drop it in the offering plate. If you're joining us via live stream, you can go to the address you'll see on the screen and let us know that you have been here. If you have prayer requests, you can put them on that card, or you can put them in the address on screen, and we will be happy to respond to those. But we're glad to have all of you here, and we thank you for coming to join us on this very special day.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I tried with all my might, and I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. He picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what I see, got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends, burden and bitterness, you just keep it moving. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. He picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
There is no condemnation for those who believe in Christ Jesus. Amen? We are forever free.
Lost another one, I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one, I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one, I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one, I am free, I am free. Solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
The law shows us our sin, but it condemns us to death. the grace of Jesus frees us from the power of the grave so we can live a new and abundant life in Him. So get up out of that grave and rejoice.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because He healed my heart, He changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. Because He healed my heart, He changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God.
Holy God, we do thank you today. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here. We thank you for the opportunity to be a church family together. We thank you for the opportunity to be Americans, to be able to celebrate the wonder that is this gift of freedom that has come to our souls. We pray, O God, that you will be with us as we gather here today, that you will fill our hearts with wonder and with grace and with power, and that you will help us to not take for granted that which so many people on this earth have no opportunity to enjoy, and that's the freedom of soul and the freedom of life. Today, let your Spirit be upon us and help us to know the wonder of your grace, for it is in your name we pray. Amen. We invite our children to come forward for children's time.
Sunday. I'm glad you're here. So you might have guessed what we're talking about a little bit this morning. And so there was a day when I woke up and I was very, very unwell. But I had to rally and I had to feel better because it was my birthday party day and I was not going to be sick. And I, all day long, I felt pretty sick. But I was like, I'm going to my birthday party. I went to my birthday party. I had a great time. And then when I got home, I was horribly, horribly, terribly, awfully sick. And actually, in the middle of the night, my parents had to take me to the hospital. And they had to take my appendix out. That it had apparently been busting all day long. And the doctor said I was crazy and I should have come in a long time ago. Well, earlier that day. But I was not going to miss my party. Because birthday parties are awesome, right? So the flip side of that is that when I didn't go to school the day after my party, all the friends that were there were like, where's Tabby? And they found out that I was at the hospital. So a whole huge group of friends brought me a bunch of balloons and a giant stuffed Winnie the Pooh into the hospital, and it made being in the hospital a whole lot less terrible. So does anybody know what happened on January 5th, 1957? Pastor Tommy was born. I know. No, he just laughed. Yes, January 5th is Pastor Tommy's birthday. September 4th is my birthday. Does anybody else want to share their birthday?
October 2nd, May 29th, the same as yours.
Yes, Landon and I share the birthday, September 4th. It's a good day. Okay. Birthdays are awesome. Did you know that everyone has a birthday? Yes. Did you know that America has a birthday? Yes. Does anybody know what day that is? Tomorrow. Yes. What's the date? Yes. July 4th. So July 4th, 1776, we were not a country yet. We were a whole bunch of people here sent from another country. And a bunch of men gathered, and they wrote together something called the Declaration of Independence. And they said, we're no longer going to be ruled by British people. We are going to be our own independent country. And we're going to base that on the fact that we believe God wants us to have a country where we can live freely and pursue what we believe is happiness. And for most of those people, it meant following the Lord. Did you know that 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence? And 54 of those men all went to church every Sunday. They all believed in God. And more than half of the signers of the Declaration could quote the whole Bible. They knew the Bible. So even though the Constitution doesn't include lots of scriptures and things, because it's a political document, they knew what was important. And they believed God wanted us to live freely and to pursue what honored Him. So they would have known Ephesians 2:10, which is, we are God's workmanship, created new in Christ so that we can live the awesome, I'm paraphrasing, lives that He has planned for us. So when they got together, they said, we want to go forward, and it's not going to be easy. They had to fight a big war, but eventually they won, and America became a nation. And to this day, lots of things have changed, but what remains in America is that we are a land of free people who can pursue honoring the Lord with our lives, which is super awesome, right? That's pretty awesome that we're free and we can come to church and pursue happy lives, I think. So we're going to go upstairs. We're going to talk more about your birthday and how God made you awesome. And we're going to talk more about America's birthday and what makes it an awesome place to be. But I also want to remind you, while I've got you and you guys out there, August 7th through the 10th is our VBS program here. It's going to be, it's kids' turn, and it's an amazing thing. It's going to be super full of energy. Definitely be sure. And you can check out the flyers we've got out there, and you can scan the QR code if you want to register, or you can register just on the Church Center app. But we definitely need volunteers. We need people who are willing to donate, and we want all of your kids to sign up. And if you have neighborhood kids, encourage them to come. So kindergarten through fifth grade is welcome. Preschoolers can come with their families. But okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to run upstairs and party. There's a cake upstairs. Just saying, sorry, grown-ups. You get food later. You know you get food later. You'll be fine. Okay. God, we thank you that we live in a free country where we can come together and celebrate what blesses us and what matters to us. We celebrate our birthdays and the fact that you brought us to this world, and we celebrate the freedom that is available to us here in this country. We love you. Help us to honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Let's go. Stand and worship together. Shield and our eternal.
the Ancient of Days and worthy of our praise. You are the Ancient of Days and worthy of our praise. You are the Ancient of Days and worthy of our praise. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing?
Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing?
Thus as to that may be, Christ Jesus is
come here today in this time of prayer to not only give thanks for what we have and what we have been blessed with, but to also remember those who are struggling far more than are we. There's a war still raging in the Ukraine. There have been shootings that have occurred in recent weeks. There are all kinds of wounds that have occurred within our nation and in our world. And so we join together here in a time of prayer, not only to be thankful people, but to remember those that are less fortunate than are we, and to lift them up to our Lord. This morning, let's begin with a short time of silent prayer, and then I will lead us in our closing prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, how blessed we are to be able to gather in this place, to be able to come here as a free people and to be able to celebrate that freedom that it's easy for us to take for granted. There are so many who cannot take such for granted, and there are so many who are suffering with all manner of wounds as we gather here today. There are families that are still grieving from the attacks that were made on their children, and we pray for them today, O Lord. We pray for their hurts, we pray for their anger, we pray for everything that they are experiencing. We ask you, O Lord, to be with them in power and in strength. For this day is not the day of celebration that we enjoy as we gather here. It is a very different day in Uvalde, Texas. Lord, it's a different day in the Ukraine. It's not a day where everyone is thrilled with what has happened in their country. They are cherishing their freedom today because they are afraid it is soon to be taken away. And we pray, O God, for their lives, for their country, for the struggles that they have. We pray for our own country, O Lord. We are grateful for this country that we have, and we love the country that we get to live in, but it is not a country without its own problems. We pray, O God, for our problems, for the struggles that we have to face and deal with as well. It is very easy for us to go about our business during the course of the day and forget that most of the people of the world can't enjoy what we enjoy. We pray, O God, for our nation, for the leaders of our nation, for those who are elected by us to represent us. It is easy for us to forget sometimes that is a rare occasion in this world. Oh God, we are blessed to be here today. You have come and you have promised that you would be here with us in spirit and in truth, that you would fill us with your presence and that you would help us to know the wonder of your grace if we would simply turn to you in faith. We pray, oh God, that our faith will be real and it will be deep as we gather here, that we will have all manner of faith in their Son that you sent to this world for the sole purpose of setting our souls free and setting our lives free to be able to live the way you would have us live and to make the difference in the world that we live in. We thank you for Jesus and for his cross. We thank you for the resurrection and for the life eternal that came from that resurrection. And we thank you that as your people, we get to live in this world and count for you every day that we live. Help us, O Lord, to make a commitment right now to do that as well as we possibly can. And help us to try to live our lives in such a way that others will see the faith that we have in our souls and they will wonder what makes us different. And hopefully, Lord, we'll have the opportunity to share with them what makes us different. This is a special day. It's a special weekend. It's a weekend to celebrate. Remind us that every day is a day to celebrate your grace and love, to celebrate the gift of your Son, to celebrate the beauty of that is heaven, and to celebrate the opportunity to live and to count for heaven's sake in this world. Remind us, O Lord, of the power of prayer. For prayer is not a witness. It is the opportunity to communicate with you, to experience you, to be filled with your word, and then to try to live it out. Help us, Lord, to experience that prayer well today as we pray together the prayer that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you very much.
Drop something.
I did drop something. Don't know why I dropped something, but I did anyway. We are looking at the second of our new sermon series called Come to the Party, and we are looking at Birthday Party of Freedom. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, beginning with verse 15. It reads like this. Then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. They sent some of their disciples along with their supporters of Herod to meet with him. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and don't play favorites. Now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus knew their evil motives. You hypocrites, he said. Why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin used for the tax. When they handed him a Roman coin, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. His reply amazed them, and they went away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My iPad's decided to go haywire just as I get ready to preach. It didn't count on this. It's always good to have a backup. That's what I have with me today. I think I've said this roughly 25 times since I've been the pastor of this church, but I love the 4th of July. It's one of my favorite holidays. And one of the reasons it's one of my favorite holidays is because I'm just a patriotic soul at heart. I know some pastors hate the idea of even mentioning God and country together, but that doesn't bother me a bit as long as we remember that one doesn't equal the other. God is God and country is country, and we ought to pray for our country to honor God, and we ought to pray for God to bless our country. But if we have to choose between one or the other, we need to always remember God comes first, period. No debate about it. But having said that, I'm still a patriotic soul, and one of the reasons I am is because I saw the high price that my own dad paid for the freedom of our country. I've told you before that my dad landed at Normandy in World War II. Susan and I went to France for our 40th wedding anniversary a few years ago. It was a wonderful trip and we thoroughly enjoyed it, but one of my favorite places that we visited while we were there was Normandy. That was one of the most soul-stirring events that I have had in my life. When we were standing on that beach at Normandy, I could see everything that my daddy had talked about when I was a child. I could see the rocky cliffs of Pointe du Hoc over to my right. And when I looked to my left, I could see the remains of the artificial harbor that the Allies brought with them so that they could unload all of the equipment and supplies that they needed. I could see the German gun emplacements, many of which that are still there until this day. But what I didn't see were the bodies that were on the sands that day. I looked down and I saw the water that was coming right up to my feet, but unlike the day that my daddy jumped off of that boat, the water wasn't red that day. It was different. It was soul-stirring. My dad was wounded 4 times in that war. He helped liberate the Nazi death camp at Buchenwald. He suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder the rest of his life. My dad had to have major lung surgery in 1979. As he was coming out from under the anesthesia of that surgery, my daddy, who was a master sergeant, was yelling orders to his men. He was fighting a battle in his mind that was just as real that day as it was in 1944 in France. It was still a very real event for him. A lot of people have paid some very high prices to give us the freedom that we enjoy here today. We need to be grateful for those people. We need to be grateful for the way that they have lived. We need to be grateful for the freedom that they brought us. We need to be grateful that we can come into this church and worship here today without any fear at all of being harassed by our government. That flag means a lot to me. I have that flag flying off the front of my house right now, and it will be there until the 4th of July is over. I believe in that flag, and I believe what it stands for, because freedom isn't free, and we tend to forget that sometimes. The American experiment has been a costly experiment, and we need to remember how costly it's been, but that's not the only reason that I love the 4th of July. It's not the only reason that I believe in this holiday. When Russia or when China or when a lot of other countries in this world celebrate their country's birthdays, their big patriotic celebrations, they always do it with grand military parades. For those countries, patriotism means power, and showing off their military power is a way to intimidate people. It's a way to intimidate other countries that might threaten them, and it's a way to intimidate their own people. They want everybody to know that it's not safe to challenge the power of the government. It's not safe to challenge the power of their country. That's not how we do it here in America, and you may have noticed that. We celebrate our country's birthday very differently to how many other countries do it. We do it with small town parades and family picnics and hot dogs and hamburgers and kids playing outside and people wearing silly hats and bands playing music and fireworks and the opportunity to gather at church and to worship and then to go outside and celebrate the sin of gluttony without anybody getting on our nerves. We're the only country in the world that celebrates its nation's birthday the way that we celebrate it. And the reason we do is because our celebration means freedom and joy. It's something that we get to cherish. It's something that we get to live into. Back at least 20 years ago now, we had a young Chinese man who had been attending our church, been attending the Chinese Bible study that met on Friday night. He had become a Christian about a year before, and I had baptized him into the faith. Now I looked up, and he was coming down the aisle right after church, had a big smile on his face, and he had something in his hand. So I went down to meet him, and when I did, he held it up and showed me his certificate of citizenship. He had gone to Washington, D.C., and he had taken the test, and he had taken the oath to become an American citizen, and he was so excited about it. And so I congratulated him, and when I did, he said, "Last Friday was one of the best days of my life. Now I'm a dual citizen." And I said, "So you kept your citizenship in China?" And when I did, he looked at me like I'd grown two heads, and he said, "No." He said, "I'm a citizen of America, and I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God." It's easy for us to take that dual citizenship lightly. It's easy for us to just take it for granted because it's just part of our lives. It's the way that we get to live. We wake up every morning and it's just there. But that young man wasn't taking it for granted because he knew what it was like to live in a country that wasn't free. He knew what it was like to live in a country that threatened the church at every turn. He knew what it was like to live without God in his heart. And now he was getting to enjoy both of those because that dual citizenship meant total freedom to that young man. And that was the greatest thing in the world to him. And it needs to be great for us as well. We ought to be proud that we could hold that dual citizenship today because Jesus himself mandated that arrangement. During his last week on earth, a group of Pharisees hatched a plan to try to trap Jesus. They decided to ask him a question about paying taxes to Caesar because they knew if he said you shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar, the Romans was going to arrest him. And if he said you should pay taxes to Caesar, the Jews were going to turn against him. The Pharisees thought they had Jesus between a rock and a hard place that day. But Jesus knew that they didn't, because Jesus was just smarter than they were. And so Jesus called them out. First he called them hypocrites, and he wanted to know why they were doing such a thing. But then he spoke words to them that they could not argue with. He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. That was Jesus' way of saying that we owe something to both God and country, but God comes first. How do we know that? Well, we know that because in the ancient Hebrew culture, if you were making a list, the most important thing on the list came last. When we make a to-do list or any kind of list, we put the most important thing on the list first. But in the ancient Hebrew culture, in ancient Hebrew days, they always put the most important thing last on the list. Jesus listed Caesar first, and then he listed God second, which meant God comes first. Today we're celebrating two of the most important loyalties that we can have in American life. So I want us to think about this dual citizenship that we hold. And I want us to ask ourselves two questions. What do we owe God, and what do we owe our country? And to tell you the truth, folks, I think there's one answer to both of those. We owe it to God, and we owe it to our country to take our national motto seriously, in God we trust. Back in 2017, we had a little bit of a hoorah here in our county, a little bit of a struggle that went on. It was partly my fault that it went on. In 2016, Sheriff Hank Parton had asked me if I could come up with something to put on his patrol cars that was different from In God We Trust, because he thought that was overused. I suggested Blessed Are the Peacemakers, but I suggested that they just use it as a slogan and that they not put any scripture with it, because I knew if they put scripture on a county car, it was going to unleash a church-state argument. But the command staff of the sheriff's office got together, and they did talk about it at length, and they decided they wanted the scripture on their cars, and so they put it there, and sure enough, it set off a controversy that literally made national headlines. Folks, I cannot begin to tell you how happy I am that absolutely nobody mentioned my name in all that. Nobody ever mentioned me. I lived for almost a month wondering when somebody was going to say, well, Tommy thought of this. But thank the Lord, nobody ever did, so I never had to answer for that one at any point. But I will say that there was something that struck me about that episode. If the sheriff had actually used In God We Trust, there wouldn't have been a problem around that, because the Supreme Court had already ruled that In God We Trust was a national motto. It's not a statement of faith when it's used by the government. Now, I know what they meant by that. I don't even fully disagree with what they meant by that. But the truth is, In God We Trust ought to be more than a motto to church people. For us, it is a statement of faith. And that statement of faith can make a radical difference in our lives and in our country if we take that statement of faith seriously. Let me give you an example. I've used Sophie Scholl a number of times as an example of Christian courage. I've mentioned her as an individual that was one of my heroes of the faith. Not many 17-year-old girls had the courage to stand up against Adolf Hitler in the 1940s. In fact, not many people at all, period, had the courage to stand up against Adolf Hitler. But Sophie Scholl did. She was one of the founders of a movement called the White Rose. It was a student movement that was trying to create an undercurrent against Adolf Hitler through the students at the universities. Sophie was discovered in what she was doing, and she was arrested in 1943. 4 days later, she was sentenced to death for opposing Hitler. And in the hours just before she died, Sophie made a number of statements that have become famous since the war. But one of the quotes that Sophie's sister has said that she made is one of the statements that didn't become as famous as some of the others. According to Sophie's sister, she met with her parents, and when she did, she said, "My life with you is ending, but I'm trusting God for eternal life, and I'm trusting God to take my sacrifice and turn it into an example that'll inspire other Christians to count for what's right and good even when it's costly. 17 years old. And yet that is how she was choosing to live her life. Why? Because Sophie Scholl took seriously, "In God We Trust." She took seriously what it meant for her eternal life, and she took seriously what it meant for inspiring others to stand up for what's right and good in the world. Friends, if you are a Christian, "In God We Trust" has to be more than a motto that we put on money and police cars. For Christians, it's a creed that we are called to live by. It's the heart and soul of our faith. And we owe it to God, and we owe it to our country to make those four words the foundation of our lives, because being committed to those words can bring out the best for Jesus, and it can bring out the best for America. And goodness knows, Jesus and our country need the best that we can bring to it right now. We see that day in and day out. This past week, I saw something posted on social media that I have never seen as blatantly as it was posted this week. A lot of people, not one or two, but a number of people were posting, "Christianity is destroying America." They were posting it in response to the Supreme Court's decisions of this past week, but the truth is that sentiment has been a long time coming in America, and it is growing fast in our country. In 2019, 91% of Americans said they believed in God. In 2022, that has dropped to 81%. It dropped 10% in 3 years, but what's worse is, in 2021, 89% of Americans said they believed in God. In 2022, it's 81%. In other words, that 10% drop that happened in 3 years, 8% of that happened this year. And here's the clincher of all of that. When those same people were asked why they were giving up on faith, almost all of them said some version of this statement: "The church looks more like the world than it does Jesus, and it's made me doubt whether any of it is true. The church seems mean, angry, and bigoted, and it seems like the church craves power more than it desires to love and care about people, and I just don't believe it anymore." Folks, it doesn't matter where we stand on any of the hot button issues. When that's being said about the Christian church, and when 8% of Americans have left the faith in 6 months, that's a major problem for the church and the country. The bickering and the fighting that we've seen among church people, and especially among our national leaders, that's hurt the country and it's hurt the church. It's made the sacrifice of Jesus look cheap, and it's made the church look like a pawn of one side or the other, and it's made the government look selfish and look dysfunctional, which it largely is. Friends, you can take this to the bank any day that you want to take it. When the church gets in bed with the government, the church is going to lose every time. There has never been a situation where that has not been the case when that started to happen. Why? Because we lose our moral authority when we do that. We lose our independent voice, and we have to have both of those if we are going to be an influence, because our freedom depends on both of those. The church has to be a voice of moral authority even when it is not standing with the government, and it has to have an independent voice to be able to do that. No, it will not make everybody happy all of the time. I can assure you, when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. began to organize the civil rights movement, it was not popular with the majority of America, and it certainly was not popular with the majority of Southerners. But it was important for him and for others to stand up with a moral voice. It was important for them to have the independence to be able to declare what was right and what was wrong, and to stand for that rightness, even if it cost them dearly. Folks, it really doesn't matter where we stand on one issue or the other. What matters is, are we going to stand for what is right? We have to have both of those things because our independence stands for it and counts on it. That's really what Jesus meant when he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Both of those have a legitimate role in our life, but don't ever try to make those go together. The church always loses when we do that. In Galatians 5:1, Paul said, it is for freedom that Christ set us free, so stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Paul was talking about slavery of sin and freedom that comes from God's grace. And that slavery and that freedom, it affects everything in life and it affects the way that we live in the world that we live in. Friends, since the day the church was founded, it has been meant to be an independent voice. It has been meant to be a voice that stands for God first, always, and in all situations. It is meant to be a voice that brings liberation to the souls of others. It's been meant to be a voice that set people free from the slavery of their own sins and from the slavery of other people's sin. It is meant to be that voice that calls out and that declares that freedom is a precious and wonderful gift, and we are the ones who are called to carry that message into the world. And we can only do that if we have met the Jesus that sets us free. Our Christ came to this world to break the chains of sin on our lives, to break the chains of the choices that we make, to break the chains of whatever it was that would keep us from becoming all that God wanted us to be. And when we are at our best and when we are living for what Christ would have us live for, our nation becomes a better place time and time and time again. But it only happens when we take Jesus seriously, when we declare that he's going to be the Lord and Savior of our lives. Because when we do that, it gives us the ability to take a stand that comes with trusting God. And when we do that, trusting God will always bring us freedom.
Stand for the future they'll grow into, and so they know when to stand themselves. Stand for those whom its promise always seems out of reach. Even when we're told we can be anything we want to be, stand for those that fought to bring us liberty, but can no longer stand on their own. Stand, so the wonder she holds in her hand doesn't fade, and the wonder she gives isn't taken for granted. Stand, because the freedom we desire was promised by the one who has no end to his authority. Because he stood for us all, and when he said, it is finished, he meant forever. He meant for everyone. Stand, firmly, for the dream, for freedom. Even when standing means sitting, even when standing means kneeling, even when standing means praying, until all God's children are standing with you, stand.
built freedom into every fiber of creation, and he meant for us to all be free and whole. Oh, but when my Lord bought freedom with the blood of his redemption, his cross stamped pardon on my very soul.
Thank you for coming and joining us here today. If you have come to this place today and you have decided to give your life to Jesus Christ, or you want to and you're not sure how, if you'll come at the end of the service, we will be glad to help you with that. If you want to join our church and be part of our mission, we would love to have you. If you'll come, we will help you with that as well. We are about to leave this room where it's very easy to celebrate freedom, and we're about to go outside where it's still easy to celebrate freedom. Let us go and let us enjoy one another's company, and let us enjoy what this holiday is about, and then let us do the best we can to live out our faith and our freedom to the world that's around us, because the world needs to know that there's freedom in Jesus Christ. We're about to go outside and eat. I'm going to bless the food in here. If anyone tells you to wait about blessing the food, tell them we've already done it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the gift of freedom. I thank you for the celebration that we get to be part of. I ask you, Lord, to be with us as we go outside to continue to enjoy this party. Help us to enjoy it throughout the hours and day that is ahead of us. Bless the food that we are about to eat, and let it be nourish our lives as fully as possible, so that we can be the kind of strength and power in the world that you would have us be. And now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Let's go have a good time. Yeah. Oh, yeah.